Don King, saying he remembers Grandpa's blessings.
Well, you know, as I look back on all those years that we've spent here, that really stands out. Those blessings. He used to quote from the Psalms, from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and, you know, it would be 2 or 3 minutes, but it was literature.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blessing. And the emotional sincerity and the real, the gratitude to God and all the rest, what it was put in literary terms that you could have... Oh, it was fantastic. But the other... And the only other thing I really that I think of when I think of him is the time we did go out to pick corn. I can't remember what it was probably sweet corn, but maybe it wasn't, but it doesn't matter. But corn, picking corn is one thing I've done in my own place in Connecticut. And we were working along the field, you know, the way you can grab it and check it.
What, Mother?
And we worked at it for a while, and then he suddenly looked up and he said to me, he said, you're the man and I'm the boy here. And at the time I thought, well, you know, that was a compliment. He was saying, you know, I was doing a good job, I was doing my work. And then afterward I thought to myself, you know, I'm 40 years old, or 39 years old, and it's sort of funny to say, to think that up until that time he was thinking of me as a boy rather than a man. You know? What was my conduct that he should think of a 40-year man as a boy in any context? Although he didn't mean it that way. He was actually... nice, you know.
Saying that certainly my superior in Cornhuskers.
You can do this. Great person. Great person. But I don't really remember. Because she died.
She died in 49, yeah.
After I got here.
Well, my junior year, in April of my junior year. But you weren't out at the farm that mm-hmm. first year, probably.
It was your junior year that you died?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, I think, your sophomore year that I probably came out here. So.
It would have, the summer of my sophomore year, you must have worked on the farm.
It would be the first time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You put right in the last.
This is talking about our proclivity to start off in the car before people are fully in.
Yeah.
That they should be nimbler in getting in and getting the doors slammed. Ron Dogan is at the wheel.
He also had a tendency to drive the wrong way on a one-way street.
Never forget that. You went down, we were going into the pancake house somewhere, and you drove on the wrong side, and he was saying, well, I'm on the wrong side, but we'll get along, and I saw all these cars coming and everything. I tell you. But he got out of the way. No problem.
Part of his general disregard for regulations for transportation.
Well, I still talk about that.
Roads were not places to drive automobiles. They're places for other people to drive automobiles.
Oh, well, that's wrong. Well, we're going.
Nardi was always a little with me anyway. The cast was a bunch of boys, about 16, I guess they were. I was tall enough, and when I got down the road, and here on the grass with Nardi and 4 or 5 boys, and Nardi over up to one elbow. All right, boys, now 3 moldy cheers for Ronald Duncan.
Oh, God.
So I couldn't help but laugh and set him all down for 9 years.
Okay.
I still have some slides of DeCastle corn fields. I took from the ridge down by the old farm. And you could get up on the ridge high enough and you could see the tops of the pattern they make, you know, with the two rows here.
I'd like to get some copies of those. I don't know.
I was just rooting through stuff the other day, looking. Well, I'm trying to get organized in case we do move.
Mm-hmm.
And found those.
Well, any of y'all at the farm, put aside, and I'll get them copied, and then you can.
Well, I'll get copies. I'll remind you when I get home.
Yes, here, I'll remind you. I'll be good.
Okay.
Well, we'll see you. Have a night.
Joyce here, and she was saying something about great-grandpa, so I thought I'd better get a hold of this just in case. She was saying, Joanne, how he would really get lyrical over his love of the animals. And
sometimes we go out in the barn and he keeps saying, look at the little mother. She's such a good mother. Speaking of a cow, and he'd get almost tears with his sing-songy voice and his lisp. See the little mother. See how well she takes care of the baby. And then when I had Peter, I brought him down when he was 6 weeks old to visit. So I stayed here about a week, I guess. Grandpa made it a point to come up and spend a whole day just following me around. Because he wanted to see what kind of a little mother I had become.
Uh-huh.
And he was apparently very pleased. Thought I was being a widow. He helped me do the diapers down in the basement on the old wringer washer and hang them up on the line. He watched me feed him. And chortled and laughed at Peter. I mean, Jason did all the things they could do. And he went out when I was a kid, he took me out into the field where now is the trailer park. I remember specifically that field and being so interested in his explanation to me of how the potatoes, at least I think, I'm sure I remember that potatoes were growing there that year. I don't know, I could be wrong, but I remember potatoes. And he, we bent down and he showed me all the plants and he pulled up one and showed me how they grew out of the eyes. And he never lost his wonder of how things were.
Oh,
even at that age, he was still in awe of the way things were done.
Yeah, Ken. Oh, I'm trying to say Joanne, Mother.
Oh, well, I don't have any story yet, Jill.
See,
but
we end up taking off the
shows that reverence.
Fish
or that wonder.
Serving dinner on these.
I do remember so, once that took me and maybe one other.
Kind of
I know there was more than one of me, and I don't think there were all four of us.
Yeah.
On what do you call the bathtub walk. And we went all on the back fences. I remember we went up beyond the Mackey Farm and then that hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There beyond
right.
Blodgett's, and he showed us a lot of things. And I do remember what he called the back fence walk for six in a row. And I think that was something deliberate that he did with us, or going to be with us and for our education.
I'm sure other people have mentioned, and you have too, how he used to drive down the road looking at the fields and weed from side to side.
Joe says she remembers going around with him.
why I got going now?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember going around with him up here when I was living up here. I got very interested in gardening with him. And he and I would go out here back of the house and work in the garden. And he taught me a lot about tomatoes, and I got the feeling I was quite an expert. Because my tomatoes were always elegant tomatoes. And when I got married and moved to a house on the lake, we had a little patch of ground that we dug up. I was going to plant the best tomatoes in the world there, you know, and produce these great tomatoes for our family and use Grandpa's methods. And there's nothing at all wrong with his methods, but obviously the earth, the soil out here had something to do with it, because the gorgeous tomatoes I raised at my new house on Lake Monona didn't produce the same kind of fruit.
I didn't have a lot of memories clustered around Grandpa in the garden. No particular ones I can spot. But I can see him dropping peas, for instance, and telling us how to drop them, and I can see him with that long cord that he would stretch from one end to the other in that garden across the road from the dairy.
Are you interested? And,
well, just that sort of thing. He seemed to be one that was often doing the gardening.
Are you interested in memories of Grandma in the garden? Or
sure.
Grandma shelling peas and stuff?
Sure.
I remember when I was... We would come down from the lake one at a time, usually, for a few days back here. And stay down at the farm. And I remember terribly hot days, oppressively hot days. It's strange because peas aren't supposed to be hot weather vegetable, anyway, I remember that, and they may not be continuous, they may not be the same days, but I remember what seemed to me, my memory is of a very hot day, sitting on that porch in front of their house. It was a concrete floor, nice cool concrete floor, sitting there shelling peas in our laps and bowls in our laps.
I remember shelling in basins.
In basins in our laps, yeah. And a lot of my memories are of Grandma also making pies and things, and that wooden box under the window right inside the kitchen door where she'd sit and or where I'd sit.
Seems to be the flower in there. Place for us always to sit. We were out of the way if we sat on the flower box.
Yeah. And I remember going out in their garden with them. In fact, I sometimes still have dreams centered around that area, just across the road over there, where they had their garden,
big garden.
I remember going along with Grandma and tending the tomato plants, planting them. And
I remember playing over there while we were trying to find things to eat. Mm-hmm. We'd always find cabbage leaves and...
Well, they have raspberry bushes.
Oh, that's the currant bushes.
That's what the dad have, is strawberries.
Oh yeah, we used to pick strawberries.
Oh yeah, strawberries. Well, I finished this, now I'm going to start eating potatoes. I remember at Grandma's dinner table, supper table, how delicious those poached eggs were that she'd give us little children. When she decided that the supper wasn't suitable, or she maybe didn't have enough for everybody.
I can remember Grandma's poached eggs, too.
Oh, they were good.
What was different about them?
They tasted like
eggs. They were just awfully good.
Eggy.
They were good. They were fresh eggs.
They were just awfully good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was supper time, and I was hungry, and I like eggs. I always have. So her eggs just, I don't know, they're just good. Not better than my mother's, but I guess it was maybe part of it was that we had an egg for supper. We never had eggs for supper.
Chopped in a blue bowl.
Yeah.
Well, chopped in a blue, but I remember chopped up.
Chopped? Well, maybe they were soft boiled.
It was from a green bowl.
It was soft boiled. But Grandpa would always sit in the middle of the long table.
And he'd back the one you sat in the pivot.
Nope. Went back to the kitchen. He sat in the middle. And somebody like, I know who sat at the end of it.
Josie or Grandma?
No. Grandma sat at the head, at the other end. Grandma sat at the end toward Beloit.
Well, that's what I call heads of the table.
That's our insect, yeah. And the other insect, Julius. And Brad was at the middle, and he's back to the sideboard.
Judy, okay, that's good to know. I know they always ate dinner and supper at the big table, and then breakfast was on at the other table. You know, always had tablecloths and...
Now, Grandma, I'm trying to remember, I may be wrong about that. Josie might have sat at the head of the table. See, so she could jump up and run. I remember I always sat on the corner facing the kitchen. Between the person who sat at the end and then whoever sat next to... And that might have been...
Those kids often took a little niche in there.
I think that might have been Grandma.
I see Grandma right at the side.
At the corner.
At the corner.
Yeah, that was Josie then, or Effie, whichever one it was in. And Mr. Griffiths, oh yes, Mr. Griffiths, where did he sit? Well, I can't remember.
Do you remember any of the evening menus?
Oh, he used to have that pot roast kind of meat that had been canned somewhere.
Yeah, that was hunting.
There wouldn't be on a platter or on
meat, yeah. Yeah.
There'd be kind of
cheese. There'd be sauce. There's always some kind of sauce, and that means...
rhubarb sauce or apple sauce?
Yeah, or cherry, canned cherries, or, you know, some kind of sauce, that's what they call it.
From out of the can.
Yes, but it would always be home canned.
Yeah, home canned.
And then we'd have lots of bread. And I remember the memory of that hash that they had.
Oh, comfortable chair in the kitchen, Grandma. Why should you have
the hash that they had in the kitchen.
There's no hash like we had at Grandma's house.
Oh, I'll make you some hash when you come up next week. I learned it.
Yeah, that's good.
But I used to make good hash, too.
Well, you're partial to corned beef hash. We're talking about regular hash. Beef, just regular roast beef.
I don't see hash, and practically the man that the photographer that took the picture of you children around the fireplace came up. And then, for nothing, if you please, I had some of my hash.
Oh, boy.
I do recall me a good hash.
Oh, yeah, we did. But I remember, the meals I remember of Grandma's were certain things I liked that she did, not because you didn't do them, but because I associated eating there with sitting in a certain chair and being served certain things and how I'd eat them and so on. And I remember that whenever we'd have hash, I would have her fresh bread with butter on it and a hash sandwich, see. And this is terribly caloric, but that's the way I like hash. And it's funny, I was telling Carly the other day that I made hash for them and I offered bread. And I said, bread? There's potatoes in this. It's, you know, plenty. And I said, I guess this comes from my childhood. And I told her, too, that I always had bread and butter with hash. It just seemed right. It's so delicious, so I still associate with it. She used to make me sit up on that high chair and eat my peas and load them in this pile.
That's right, you didn't like peas.
I hated peas.
Oh, but I always loved them.
Oh, I hated them.
So there was no problem there.
And she'd make me clean my plate, and she'd make me potatoes, even make it into a pie and make.
Oh, we always make potato
pies. Eat the wedges. And I had to eat cauliflower, although I hated it. Later on, I loved it. I had to eat whatever was set before me, and I didn't like that. I still like to have it. I remember her cool room where she had big crocks of things.
That was right off the
like
kitchen.
Donuts, and yeah, just outside the kitchen. Mm-hmm. She'd have donuts and crocks, and she'd have, the thing I liked the best was her mincemeat and crocks. Mm-hmm. And I'd go out with a spoon and get people into the mincemeat and come out with a heaping mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about calories. Ah,
the thing that was different about Grandma's house than our house, Katie, was that Mother prepared food for the family of six, you see, and it was a matter that was taken care of, and that was it. But at Grandma, she was feeding all these people. So she was feeding hired men. She set a table for 10, 12 people every meal.
Now, Cindy, how fast can you go for the donuts?
And so she was... So there was food preparation going on there all practically all day. And so if you didn't have anything better to do, and you often didn't, Or even if you did, that was the thing. It was the better thing to do, was to go on over to Grandma's. And
see what's being cooked
and made. Grandma would be making pies. You know, she'd be making 6 and 7 pies at one time. And then the tailings were always put in a pie pan and called Bounce's pie. And when we kids were around, we'd put sugar and cinnamon on it when she put it in to bake. And this was what was enough, what was left that wouldn't make another pie. And if Bounce was the only one there, well, she didn't put sugar and cinnamon on for Bounce's pie. But,
You mean Bounce really got it?
Oh, yeah. That was Bounce's pie.
Bounce's pancake, too.
And Bounce's pancake. Do you still have Bounce's pancake at your house? Is that passed on to all your kids?
You know, I don't even remember that. So I not only didn't pass it on to my kids, I don't even remember.
Oh, well, Patty, I think, passed it on to her kids. Because I think I mentioned Bounce's pancake once, and Jackie Jo says, oh, do you have a Bounce's pancake, too? But, you know, Bounce's pancake would be those first pancakes that are on the griddle that are always a little bit different from the ones that follow.
Uh-huh.
They're a little tougher or something. They're just not quite as good, that first set. And we used to love Bounce's pancake. We'd sit there and wait for Bounce's pancake, you know, so we'd be the ones to get it.
First shall I put
Bounce
the garbage? First shall I scrape these into?
Ordinarily, Bounce's pancake went to Bounce, and Bounce's pie went to Bounce, and but it was something delectable that us kids would always take if we were there.
Yeah.
And we'd come on over to see what there was.
Grandma always had a woman around America, a some age, helping her with everything, so that she wasn't overworked. She was able to get through her work. Rest in the afternoon, go out and
do her church and club work.
And knit and do different things. Go to church circle.
She was a pretty energetic lady.
She was energetic, but I mean, she didn't overdo what she
claimed in later life.
But she found she had
burned herself out.
Trouble with hardly any arteries, so I. That's what they told her she had. And, Ma Dobson called her up and wanted to know what the trouble was. And she said, oh, overworked. And that hurt Grandpa's feelings.
You remember how her Grandpa's feelings were hurt, because Grandma's feelings were so hurt when he gave her a set of knives for Christmas once.
Yeah.
Remember that, Joan?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
That was his big present to her, a set of knives.
Cutting knives?
Cutting knives.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so upset.
Something more feminine or
I think so. Something
personal.
More personal, not something for the kitchen.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? I love having stuff in the kitchen, and nobody believes me. Carl won't buy me anything.
My kids won't buy me things for the house. They make quite a point of saying they, you know, that I, and Elspeth says, well, let's have a party where we get things for the house, but I don't want to get things for you for the house. So I keep putting things on the list that I want for the house when they've asked me to write out a list, and they won't get them. Well, I think Vera Wardner has stories about Grandma, too, of how Grandma would be up bright and early, of course, and have everybody fed and her pies made and all this, and then be over at our house by 8 or 9 in the morning to sit around and watch Mother work and tell Mother how she had her work all done. And Mother would be washing diapers and tending little children.
By hand.
And
washing diapers by hand. Which
of course, I did that too up until Elspeth. My first 3 kids I did by hand.
Wash diapers by hand?
Yeah.
Why?
Didn't have a washing machine.
And they're all your laundromat?
Well, I took the kids. Well, in England there wasn't any.
Well, I didn't.
But for the rest, I would do the regular clothes at a laundromat, but the diapers had to be done so frequently and regularly.
Yeah.
But I just did a bucket a day as a regular thing. And of course, up at the lake, we couldn't keep driving into town all the time. So I just
always did it by hand.
Yeah, but I was just very, of course, I did my, in Ann Arbor, I remember doing it in the bathtub. Well, I can remember them at Twilly Avenue doing it in the bathtub, too. And anyway, Mother did it by.
Well, I didn't have any wash.
She did everything.
I had to do it with a wash tub, with one of those, what's it called?
Washboard. When you were little. I remember the old Maytag when you were older down there in the basement.
Well, yes. Yeah, I remember the
Maytag
finally, but that was after
Fred came. Well, my memories don't go much back before Fred and Craig came.
I don't remember seeing her doing that, but I know.
I do know there was a washboard around.
Yes, I
don't
believe the washboard.
Habits weren't the best anyway.
Well, that's true, but I presume she didn't do that very often. Or she, I was hoping she hadn't done it at all, except for that. But I know I saw it. I saw what I saw.
Okay, well, first question. I've decided you must have been rather a young genius when you did that Christmas card at such an early age of the silhouettes.
Oh.
Tell me about that. I remember lining up and having the light shone on our faces there at the little house. And
I recall.
And then you drew us on brown paper on the wall.
Yeah.
But then what did you do after that? You had to reduce them somehow.
I had to reduce them. That was hard work.
It must have been hard work.
It was Mother's idea. She had the idea for the Christmas card. She thought I could do it. I was never one to say no, I couldn't do anything. I was always, of course, I could do anything. So when she said, when she asked me if I would or suggested that I do it, I, of course. Drawing on the wall was the easy part. It was reducing them down so that they still looked like the silhouettes of the people.
And you were fairly young at that time, because it was probably the winter of fourth grade, so you wouldn't have been any more than eighth grade.
Well, I probably never got much better at art than I was then. I remember having had Mr. Weiner's art classes.
Mm-hmm.
Quite young, and I was good at likenesses. In the end, I think maybe, as I recall, those silhouettes drawn on paper didn't work. I had to still look at you and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember other than sitting there and having the light shone on us.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it took long hours to work it out, but I finally did. That's all right. And then the other one I made was
the house
one of the house.
And that's a beautiful
thing.
That
was a lot easier.
Just to go out and draw it. And
yeah.
But you shaded it nicely and colored in the windows, and that was a beautiful card.
The Christmas cheer.
There were two Christmas cards. See, I asked you about the bottle caps. Do you remember Santa Claus coming and bringing us the pony? I was too little.
I do, yes, I do remember.
Tell me about that.
Well, I remember it so vaguely, but I remember definitely, this is too bad, a distinct feeling of disappointment. Not in the pony, but in Santa Claus. Because it didn't look like Santa Claus, one bit. And they had to convince me that this was indeed Santa Claus, and I really didn't believe him. You saw his picture. He didn't look like Santa Claus.
He looked like a sort of a thin Santa Claus.
Well, he had on knickers. You know, he just didn't look like Santa Claus. He wasn't all dressed in red. He didn't. He was just wrong, that's all. It was very nice of him. It was nice of the folks. It was nice of everybody to do it, but it didn't come off.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me, it didn't. They must have had a great time. But.
Of course, the whole problem with that pony is that after that, nobody paid much attention to fixing fixing the pony up for us to ride.
No, that's true.
Nobody took responsibility for having that pony up there and getting the kids going. Now, I partly fault Dad and I partly fault Mother. I think had I been in that situation, I would have gone out and got the pony. But on the other hand, Mother had all these little children.
Oh, she couldn't do that.
And that would have been, well, I would have, I think.
Yeah, but you see, you were raised on the farm. Mother wasn't.
That's right. That's true, too. And really, Dad should have done it. He should have.
All those men around there, why in the
and all those men, and so I find, and the pony finally disappeared, and I found out from Fanny what happened to it. Grandpa took it up to the hill farm, probably because we weren't using it, and let Fritzy use it. And so Fritzy had the pony for years, and rode it, and took care of it, and so forth, and Grandpa probably felt, well, you know, the children, the grandchildren aren't really caring for and appreciating that pony. But nobody ever put us in a position to care for it and appreciate it.
We couldn't catch it.
We were
too little for it, I suppose.
Yeah, we got it when we were too little, and nobody really took the responsibility of helping us to learn to use that pony. I felt it was the same way in 4-H. Everybody just assumed, the 4-H people assumed that a Dogon would know what was going on in 4-H, and neither Grandpa nor Daddy gave me the kind of just basic explanation of what I was doing in 4-H and the projects and so forth. And it came as quite a shock to me that I was going to have to show my cap at the fair and that I should have been leading it all this time and doing things to it and so forth. And so in a sense, my being in 4-H was almost a charade because nobody took the time with me. And I imagine in other situations...
Well, it's that was the fault of the 4-H leader too then, because in this I know enough about 4-H with the Knowles and all to know that and I hear it discussed on the radio, you know, the 4-H programs and all. I'm sure that they talk about their projects and what's expected of them and things like that. I think probably